الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. Yesterday we discussed one of the special acts of the month of Ramadan, that is the feeding of iftar to the fasting person, to the needy. One of the other things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam exhorted his ummah to increase during this month of Ramadan was تَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ خصلتين ترضون بهما ربكم وخصلتين لا غنى بكم عنهما. He said in this month increase four things. Two things are such by which you will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and two things are such which you cannot possibly do without. The two things which will please Allah is excessively recite La ilaha illallah and make istighfar, seek Allah's forgiveness. Simple procedure to do this, ulama teach us, is that to keep saying whilst throughout the day, keep our tongues busy with the zikr of La ilaha illallah, with istighfar. And the second two things, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, excessively ask Allah for jannat in this month and excessively seek the protection of Allah from jahannam. That also simple dua which ulama teach us, as'alullah al-jannah wa a'udhu billahi min al-nar. That I ask Allah for jannat and I seek Allah's protection from jahannam. What is very, very important, my respected brothers, that the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not just be read, but we should understand the mansha of the hadith. We are being exhorted to make dua to Allah Ta'ala in this month, especially for jannat, seeking protection from Allah Ta'ala from jahannam. We find that one is the dua, and like they say, the dawa. One is we are making dua, the actions also have to be in conformance with the dua. Imam Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say, "Man qala inni uhibbu al-jannah faqad kadhab." Used to say, a man who says that I love jannat or I desire jannat, but his a'mal and actions are not that of the people of jannat, then he is lying to Allah Ta'ala. On the other hand, if a person says to Allah Ta'ala that I fear jahannam, but his actions are that of the people of jahannam, then he is lying in the dua that he is making. We find that this ihsas, this perception, this consciousness of jaza and saza, of recompense, of jannat, of jahannam, of akhirat, this is something that was very, very prevalent in Madinah Munawwarah in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made such an effort on the minds and hearts of Sahaba ikram that jannat and jahannam, despite the fact that they cannot be seen, it became a living reality in the lives of Sahaba ikram. Like how we have a penal code, or we have the fear of a prison system, or we have a fear of law and police, etc., which serves as a means of us abstaining from wrong. And police force, penal system, etc., these things are visible. Sahaba ikram, such an effort was made on them that the fear of Jahannam, despite the fact that they couldn't see Jahannam, such yaqeen they had on Jahannam, that the fear of that used to become the means that they stay away from the disobedience of Allah. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, and on one occasion, he's lying with his head in the lap of his wife. And all of a sudden he starts crying. So she sees him crying and she also starts crying. So he says, "Ma yubkik, what has caused you to cry?" She says, "I saw you crying, so I also started crying." Hearts of Sahaba ikram were very soft, very easily affected. So then he explained why he started crying. He said, "Dhakartu qawla Allah ta'ala wa in minkum illa wariduha kana ala rabbika hatman maqdiya." He says, "I remember the verse of the Quran where Allah ta'ala describes the sirat, the bridge over Jahannam. And Allah ta'ala says that every one of you will have to cross that bridge. There will be no exception to this. Kana ala rabbika hatman maqdiya." This is that decree of Allah which must come to pass. So he says, when I thought of that verse, the fear came in my heart that will I be able to traverse across the bridge or will I fall into Jahannam? This is what made me cry. A youngster in Madinah Munawwarah takes his kurta off. He lies on the burning sands of the desert and he says, "Dhuqi ya nafs, naru Jahannam ashaddu harra, jifatum bil layl, batalatum bin nahar." He says, "Nafs, taste the heat of the sand and know and understand that the fire of Jahannam is hotter than this. At night you sleep like a corpse, in the day you waste away your time. Why is the fear of Jahannam not coming in you?" he rebukes himself like this. When this youngster comes in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the reaction? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, لَقَدْ فُتِحَتْ لَكَ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَقَدْ بَاهَ اللَّهُ بِكَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Yaqeen of akhirat, conviction of akhirat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the doors of the heavens were opened up for you. And Allah Ta'ala was boasting about you in front of his angels. So this is why, my respected brothers, this encouragement is given to us, especially in the month of Ramadan also, to come out in the path of Allah, to come out in the environment of Iman. One is the dua of Jannat, the other is to speak about Akhirat, speak about Jannat, speak about Jahannam, invite towards this. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا تنسوا العظيمتين. He said, never ever forget the two great things. Sahaba said, what are the two great things? He said, Al-Jannat wa-Nar, Jannat and Jahannam, never ever forget this. One incident on which I will terminate, with this perception, this ihsas of akhirat, how it served as a deterrent from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, this was the period after Sahaba, the period of the Tabi'een. There was one very, very beautiful woman. One day she's sitting in front of the mirror and admiring her beauty. And then she passes a comment to her husband. And she says to him that, do you think it is possible that if I make my mind up to entice a man, that any red or hot-blooded male will be able to resist my advances? When the husband hears this, he also on the spur of the moment, he says, yes, there is one person who will be able to resist you. She says, who? He says, Ubayd bin Umair, who was one of the great Tabi'een, that is the generation after Sahaba. So this woman says to her husband that, do you give me permission to put what you are saying to the test? He says, yes. So she beautifies herself in a way women know how to beautify themselves, adorns herself. Ubayd bin Umayr is conducting dars in the haram. She approaches him in parda, having concealed herself, in the manner of someone who wants to ask fatwa. And gradually in asking her question, she draws him to one side to a point where they are a little bit alone. And when they are alone, she removes the veil from in front of her face, having adorned herself, extremely beautiful woman. And she says to him that, your love has entered my heart and I want you to fulfill my desire. At this juncture, consciousness of akhirat, without being affected in any way whatsoever, Ubayd bin Umayr says to her that, I have a few questions for you. Answer these questions and I will consider what you are inviting me towards. She says, what are your questions? He says, لو أن ملك الموت أتاك ليقبض روحك أكان يسرك أني قضيت لك هذه الحاجة. He says, the day is going to come, the angel of mort is going to present himself to you and he's going to take your ruh out. This is a reality that you will have to face. Tell me, at that time, if today I do what you are asking me to do, do you think you would be happy at that time? And then he says, فلو دخلت قبرك وأجلست للمساءلة أكان يسرك أني قضيت لك هذه الحاجة. He says, the time will come, that 4-foot hole in the ground, you will be alone. You will be placed therein. Munkar and Nakir will present themselves in front of you. And they are going to put questions in front of you. Answer me today, if I fulfill or I accept your invitation, at that time would you be happy about it? And like this, he takes a question stage to stage. The stage when the book of deeds will be presented. The stage when the mizan would have been set up with the scale of deeds to be weighed. And then he says to her, فَلَوْ وَقَفْتِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ. A time is coming. It's going to be you and Allah only. You will not be able to hide anywhere. You will be standing in front of Allah. On that day, when standing in front of your Malik, in front of Allah, your Creator, do you feel that it would be in your interest that I fulfill what you are inviting me towards? Each time she replies no. By this time she is in a state where she is sobbing. Then Ubayd bin Umayr says to her, that اتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَا أَمَتَ اللَّهِ. That, O slave of Allah, Allah has blessed you greatly. Fear Allah and appreciate the ni'mat which Allah has given you. Her husband, many years later, he would retort, Mali wa li Ubayd bin Umayr, why did I listen? Why did I listen to what my wife told me? Why did I expose her to Ubayd bin Umayr? Afsada alayya zawjati. He changed my wife for me. Before this I had a wife, now I have one who is an abida, who is in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. This was his ikhlas, that the heart of this woman got affected. But this incident clearly illustrates, my respected brothers, on a daily basis, we are exposed to the invitation towards haram. We are exposed towards the invitation of this world. We have to become conscious of qabr, become conscious of our maut, become conscious of Jannat and Jahannam, and this becomes a deterrent by which we are able to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq.